No, I was like, oh, okay, we're not. It's like, you just learn the hack. It's like, yeah, it's easy.
Howdy, folks. And just like that, we're back, baby. Welcome to the Health Masters Brower Show, Team Health Masters, everything in between. We're here for you, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a terrific day today. I was on Hagman last night with Doug, had a great show, went into detail on different aspects of food that cause inflammation, things you can do to reduce inflammation, things you can do to maintain a healthy brain. What's going on with AI, what's going on with Venezuela, a whole host of different stuff. We had a great show with him last night, so be sure to check that out. And the product of the week, you voted, and it won the Super Mushroom Complex, our new full-spectrum immune support formula. It was backed by popular demand. We couldn't get the quality mushrooms that we wanted for about a year. Got the formula dialed back in better than ever. Very, very strong, very, very clean. All batch tested to be the highest purity possible. So be sure, if you're interested in those, check them out on sale, like 30% off right now. I just got another giant batch of them in stock, so they're ready to rock and roll for product of the week. And then I think as far as the daily goes, D3 10,000, 12 days. Now, I have all these written down. The problem is I have all these other things going on a regular basis. I don't quite keep track every single day which the 12 days are going on. I can monitor them throughout the day. Mike handles that. He's our marketing director. He does a great job with it. But the D3, if you guys know, the 12 days of Christmas, every single day up until Christmas, you do one product for 24 hours on a big sale on the front page. So if you're not signed up for the weekly newsletter, make sure you're signed up at healthmasters.com. You can also go up here to the podcast as well and check out all the daily shows that we have and get updates as well on here. First, last name, email, put the Brower Show in, and you get it sent right to your email every single day. And one of the first articles I was going to go into on this, and I was talking about it yesterday with Doug. Let me pull it back up here. And it was going into detail on how now the House has now passed a bill fully criminalizing any transgender-related treatments for minors under the age of 18 now. This is a big deal. This is something that is, I hope this goes through. The House Representative voted on December 19th to pass the bill, will criminalize any transgender-related treatments for minors, including surgical procedures, puberty blockers, hormone injections, or hormone invasives. This is the Protect Children's Innocent Act. And that was approved 2016 to 2011, now advanced to the Senate.
Are we looking at under 21 or under 18?
Under 18. So this is a big deal. So this what this primarily is stopping is the transgender hormones, the cross-sect hormones, and also the puberty blockers. There's so many kids have been given at 12, 13, 14 years old by these unbelievably insane, sadistic doctors and approved by their parents, who are equally as stupid and insane, in my opinion, allowing a 13-year-old boy to go on puberty blockers and estrogen injections. I mean, the level of insanity when you actually start sitting down and understanding from a physiology standpoint what you're doing to these young kids, because they feel weird one day, or they've been in, the biggest problem, this is what it is. A lot of it is they've been exposed to a whole lot of really, really, really sick, perverted stuff, either online, through their teachers, through these story hours, so forth. And then all of a sudden they get this ideology in their head that they need to go change their gender at 12 or 13 years old. Absolutely nuts. And at the same time now, Florida fully enacts historic law banning all minors from attending any drag shows, strengthening child protections, parental authority, and traditional values. Now, if any minor is present at any type of drag show, including apparently library drag show story hour, they have to be over the age of 18, or basically any adult minor or anybody handling the show can be charged. It's like letting a 17-year-old into a bar without carding them. You know, it's 18, a lot of times they'll put X's on their hands or stuff like that. It's gotten that strict now down here in the state of Florida as far as banning any minors having attendance at drag shows, period, now. And this was DeSantis who signed this into law, and this is a big deal down in Florida. The fact that we're even having to discuss this, the fact this is even having to be a law is pretty bizarre, but I am glad at least Florida is doing something instead of just talking about it and letting it happen.
I really hope that his wife runs for governor. Yeah, and he can stay in the governor's mansion with her. I mean, you know, Florida has really had the ability now in the last few years to step away from the fray of the United States, of the states,
yeah,
including our stand against AI.
Yeah, they're working on that right now. No, about it yesterday.
Yeah, and so we talked about it in detail yesterday. But this thing right now, as far as having to ban a six-year-old from transgender story hour legally.
Or drag shows at certain events. They just have drag shows randomly pop up.
Okay, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to do it in a way that's going to really offend a whole lot of people, and I really don't care. If you're a parent, and you're taking a 5 or a 6-year-old to see a bunch of faggots run around in dresses.
Yeah.
And we're not wearing underwear, and they're exposing their genitalia to your children. What in the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you wouldn't send me letters. I don't care. I mean, what is wrong with you? What happened to you? Who dropped you on your head when you were a baby?
Multiple times.
Yeah, I mean, what do you not realize how messed up this is and how twisted it is and how skewed it is and how it's not okay? I mean, why do we have to pass a law to put your butt in jail for basically doing this to children? Damn perverts what you are. Now you're trying to make your child a pervert. I mean, it's sickening to me, Austin.
It also imposes enormously strict penalties on organizers who violate the rules, including massive fines and license suspension, ensuring the legitimate authority of the state and enforcement is clear on the public. What happens when the federal appeals court, the federal appeals court ruled in favor of the Florida law from allowing children to attend any type of drag shows. So it's done now. It's in law. The federal appeals court approved it.
But you got to think about this for a second. You know, we have to pass legislation because of what Freud did.
This goes back to Freud.
Yeah. This is Freud. It's 100 years ago stuff. Over 100 years ago was Sigmund pervert pedophile Freud.
Yep.
All right. And his pervert pedophile cousin Bernays, who were both Sabbatean Kabbalists, Luciferian Synagogue of Satan whack bags. And they believed all this perverted stuff. They would terrorize and sadistically molest their own children and other small children, and just to torment them, and then not let them even get therapy.
And then document it and see how bad it messed them up.
No. The fact that I got exposed to Sigmund Freud, and I'll say this finally, back in the 70s when I was in college with this, that my professors would say, well, Sigmund Freud was kind of a nutbag pervert drug addict.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, why has he been the father of psychological thought for 80 years?
Oh, you learn about everything about everything. Everything's based around him in psychology in college.
Yeah, let me tell you guys, weirdos who follow Freud, not everybody has a sexual fantasy about their mother.
It's true.
What kind of sick crap are you? What's wrong with you? And I listened to this stuff in college, and I thought, who came up with this crap? Well, that would be Lucifer.
There you go.
The Kabbalist crap that Freud was so steeped in. I mean, him and Edward Bernays and Crowley and all the rest of those nutbags, L. Ron Hubbard and Jack Parsons, they were all a big group together of perverts. And then they're calling up demons from other dimensions. I mean, what is wrong with people that follow people like this? The problem is they hide the truth of who these people are and what they believe.
That's exactly right.
And they say, oh, well, Sigmund Freud, he really wanted to go into the detail of why people act like they act. No, he didn't. He wanted to pervert an entire world, and he did.
Well, if you read the basis, a lot of what he did is he wanted to research and document how perverted people would get the more they were exposed to sadistic, basically almost sacrificial sexual engagement.
Well, because he was a Kabbalist.
Yep.
He practiced out of the Zohar. he followed the Talmud, which said you have sex with young children. I mean, it's so funny. I remember there was this Jewish guy on a cruise ship one time. It sounds like a joke, but it really happened. I'm in Beijing, and we're having, you know, a dinner off the cruise ship, you know, downtown Beijing, and some palace thing we're in. And you can't make this stuff up. I did all these crazy things. It was fun, really, doing all that stuff for this weirdo. And so I'm sitting there, and I said to him, I said to the waiter, I said, I don't mind. What do you have to eat? I said, I don't eat pork. I don't eat pork. And he looked at me. He goes, oh, we have this, this, and this, and we have this duck thing or whatever. And I said, okay, whatever you're going to get. And the guy looked at me, and he's a Jewish, another Jewish psychiatrist out of New York.
There you go.
Is there anybody living in New York City who's not a Jewish psychiatrist? I just want to know that. You know, I mean, I ran into like half a dozen of them on this cruise ship. And he said to me, he goes, why don't you eat pork? He goes, you're not Jewish.
Of course, make sure he's going to make that known.
I should have said.
She started speaking to him in German.
I just thought I should have. I almost said that. You read the words out loud. You already knew what I was going to say. And I should have said to him, I said, bist du verrückt? But I didn't say that. Are you crazy? And he goes, well, as I already pork, and I said, I follow the, you know, the kosher guidelines. I follow what God said in the Torah. I follow what the Bible says as far as what we should or shouldn't eat. He goes, well, you're wrong about this. And he's messing with me now. And he goes, as long as it's blessed by the rabbi, we can eat pork. And I looked at him and I said, why do you think I'm he's gaslighting me.
Yeah.
I said, why do you possibly think I believe you?
Yeah.
I said, I know what your Torah says. I know what the Pentateuch says. I know what the first five books of Levitical law say. And I know that we are God's temple, that we can't be putting poison into it. I said, why do you think I believe you? Oh, well, no, you have to understand. You don't understand. I said, yeah, I understand. I said, you're gaslighting me. I said, what's wrong with you? And you ask yourself a question. Why do they do that? They intentionally do it just to mess with you.
No, they do.
You know, and so all I wanted to do was take him by a scrawny little pencil neck and slap him upside of the head. Forgive me, Lord, but I did. I couldn't believe it. I thought to myself, why is he getting into this? You think about this. He's giving me that advice, this thinking pervert, right? Now, what kind of advice is he giving his patients?
Oh, yeah.
Pedophilia. Oh, that's
quality,
great.
Quality, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What
you should just act on your impulses, pervert. It'll be fine. Like, whoa, dude.
No, but the fact, and you got me all triggered here about this transgender stuff. We got to pass laws to keep parents who are damn perverts from taking their children to make them perverts. You know, let me say something to you as a child and as an adult. You know, it's tough enough to raise kids. I remember there was a guy one time I knew, his name was Hager. And he's talking about recruiting and all kinds of other stuff for business. And he says, kind of like grabbing a handful of mud. You have to just pick it and throw it on the mud. You got to throw the mud on the wall, see what sticks. Terrible analogy. I have no idea why I just used that.
That's how you raise kids? That explains a lot, guys. I think I just got the whole gist of my upbringing.
And the thing you learn is this. Until they're about 10 years old, you can pretty much control behavioral patterns.
Yeah.
You can. Then they get 11. That's okay. 12, they start getting into puberty, both men and boys and girls. And then they start getting their hormones, and they start making these unbelievably stupid decisions that are unreal. And all you can do is sit back and watch and hope and pray that what you put into them for the first 10 years and keeping them in church and praying with them is going to stick and make it last past puberty so they don't get killed, you know, with car accidents and motorcycle accidents. And by the way, never buy your kid a motorcycle and never encourage that. I made that mistake with Austin. Don't ever, ever do that. And the thing about it is,
I love motorcycles.
I know, I do too. But the point is, you don't, if the kid was, it's like I told you when you turned 18 years old and you got, well, at 19, you got accepted into the Marine Corps. And I said, if you want to do the vaccines, as an officer, by the way, I said, if you want to do the vaccines, that's on you now. I've protected you up to this point. You can only protect them so far. Then they start making their own choices, making their own decisions. And so when they're 5 years old, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
That you want
really
to bring them to it? No.
You expose them to
No, because you're as big a pervert as you want to make them, and you want to bring them in to see the stuff, so you want them to accept it. And that's what we've done to an entire generation of women and men now, and that's why we got so many gays under the age of 30 because of Obama and what he did. Transgender story. Our ties right together with putting women in men's bathrooms.
I'm switch gears on this. We're talking about Freud and all that.
No, you got me all mad here.
Did you know that we have a special envoy office to monitor and combat anti-Semitism? This is what the U.S. State Department, the U.S. Department of State. Well, Deborah Lipstick is currently running it. And now Trump...
Lipstadt.
And now Trump has deemed that Rabbi Yehuda Kaplan is going to now be taking the seat of special ambassador and envoy to monitor and combat anti-Semitism. He is a Jewish... a Miami-based Jewish businessman. Anyways, he is going to be heading this, and he has said now, we have to completely shift the conversation to pro-Semitism all the time. We need to be pro-Semitic. We need to educate in all the schools. He was born in Israel, by the way.
I'm sure he's dual Israeli citizen.
He said it's responsibility to protect all Jews in the world, and that belongs to me. He's going to be replacing Deborah Lipstadt, who is a Holocaust scholar, by the way. And he is going to be putting himself in this position.
What in the world does a Holocaust scholar even mean? I don't know what that means.
I'm just reading the article. She spent an entire life explaining to everybody how she's a victim. That's what I take out of it. And so his confirmation hearing is going to be coming in. And, you know, I got to ask this question. Do you remember when the Department of State put the special office and envoy to monitor and combat anti-Christianity?
Oh, that happened last month.
Yeah.
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 Not.
Not. Yeah. Never happen. Ever. We're spending, by the way, millions upon millions of dollars for this position, by the way, for this Miami-based Jewish businessman. Sounds trustworthy. Anyways, I thought you guys would enjoy the show. Yeah, I thought Chuck Dell Sliver on you.
Insiders, insiders now. Here we go. Ready? Get ready. Blow the lid on Candace Owens' descent into the rabbit hole. Jealousy, gosh. Paranoia, in the moment she turned on Eric Kirk. This is Daily Mail.
Oh, boy, they're going to hit people.
Oh, by the way, the head.
Hitch. Hatchet job, baby. Gosh, they're coming after her.
Tell me the lead story. Who's advertising on this story?
Rubenstein Law. Miami. Gosh.
You think I'm joking?
I can't make this up.
Can you see it?
The problem is
Rubenstein.
You know, and I was talking to Parvin about this the other day, real quick, to interject this.
Parvin's our attorney.
Yeah. And he said, you know, the sick part that these attorneys have been allowed to do, most of them in this type of office with this last name, he goes, you got a guy that, you know, maybe is severely debilitated by something or paralyzed, and you know, he gets $1 million settlement and he goes to trial. He goes, the attorneys get $400,000 of it. Did you actually think about the numbers on that? How much money? 40% they take off the top. And in most cases, these guys don't do hardly anything.
And a lot of
paralegals file.
And a lot of times, and it depends on what you sign on the contract, depending on what is legal in your state, the 40% doesn't include the fees and the filing fees and all the rest of us. They can actually get more than 40%. The 40% gets cut off the top.
Yeah. I mean, think about if you had a doctor save your life. You had, you know, basically a massive, 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 you know, arm injury, and you're bleeding, you're hemorrhaging blood, and you got arteries that are open, and he saves your life, he patches you back up, and all of a sudden he goes, oh, by the way, you've got to pay me, you know, 40% of everything you've made now.
40% for the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life. Huh? No, everybody'd be like, I'm not doing that. What's the surgery?
And some of these people get so debilitated and damaged they can never work again. So that money they're getting from that lawsuit is to take care of them for the rest
and
of their
be
life.
Be careful. I mean this sincerely. If you ever enter a suit, if you get in a car accident and you have an attorney and you're suing somebody because you know you got rear-ended or your back's sore, be super careful about listening to that attorney about medical operations. I have seen this now multiple times where we have these attorney firms start trying to force the plaintiff basically to try to keep going into doing more surgeries, more operations, more injections, more things in their body, and the process debilitating them, crippling them, all the way to going, by the way, now you need to do a spinal infusion because, you know, you had chiropractic work last year. That wasn't enough. Now you need to start getting injections and spinal fusions done. And what happens is they're doing it to increase the cost of the settlement. On top of that, they're doing it to give kickbacks to all their other Jewish medical friends. Would I just say that? Oh, I just said that.
Well, they're not all Jewish. There's a lot of people that aren't Jewish do this too. That's a fact. I hate to say that, but it's true. I mean, a lot of Christians are doing it, claiming to be Christians. But the problem.
Who's just advertising on that law firm injury thing on the post right there? Was that Rubenstein? I'll leave it at that. But my point is, be very cautious of listening to attorneys about medical advice, because they will do that.
Well, the biggest problem is that they get paid by running up the bill.
That's exactly right.
And, you know, so you see it. I mean, oh, I'm going to represent you, but I'm $600 an hour.
Yeah.
Well, they don't tell you. They prorate phone calls.
No, a tenth of an hour. They put in a tenth of an hour for anything. If they pick up a piece of paper with your name on it, it's a tenth of an hour.
Well, it may only talk to you for 10 seconds.
Yeah. Maybe a text. Yeah. Text is .10.
And that's $60 to go, and then it's just you say send you 10
any contact.
Well, then you got to remember, you know, if they work 8 hours, they're going to get $5,000.
Yeah,
and you know, and you go, well, that sounds like a great deal. Yeah, okay, let's talk about prepping for the court case, for this
depositions. Now
they spend half a day with you. You get a bill for $30,000. You're like, how the heck did that just happen? You know, the best thing to do with lawsuits is just to stay the stinking away from them. Just get them. But Candace Owens, and she said this too. She goes, all they do is sue you.
Yes,
she goes, as soon as they don't like what you say, they sue you. And listen to this. Candace Owens' conspiracy theories against Erica Kirk are motivated by the broadcaster's jealousy of being left out of her wedding to Charlie Kirk, according to insiders. Total crap. These insiders described Owens 36 as sadistic and dangerous, total crap, for spreading lies that Erica and Turning Point USA were involved in Kirk's assassination. Owen had worked closely with Kirk and Turning Point's communications director from 2017 to 2019, short after Charlie pushed her out because she was going to get a little bit nuts. That's not true. You don't know. It's all speculation. Kirk would still text her to keep her friendship going, but Owen's involvement with the organization ended in 2019. When Charlie started dating Erica in 2018, Owen's report became jealous and felt usurped. That's not true. It's not true. I mean, she was already married with kids.
Dude, they were still having direct text contact and phone calls all the way up until his death.
Anybody can print and say anything.
Well, the problem is Charlie Kirk can't rebuttal it now.
No, the broadcaster told her followers exit her meeting with Erica was highly productive. They met after Charlie's death. We agreed on more than I had anticipated. The insider also claims Owens was loathed by the staff at the Daily Wire when she worked for the media organizations. Source claimed that her first week at Daily Wire, she threw her car keys at a producer and demanded they park her car. Okay. I don't know if that's true or not, but you know, here she comes in. She can't find a parking spot. She's late for a meeting. She's late for a TV appearance.
I'm live on a podcast.
Yeah. So here we go. I'm gonna throw my cell phone at you. Watch. That was it. Here's my cell phone. He threw his cell phone at me.
No, it's like we did. Hey man, I gotta go jump on the podcast. Can you park the car for me real quick? It's parked outside. I'm going live in 5 minutes.
Hey, let me park the car.
Thanks, bud. Oh my gosh.
So she threw the car keys. Owens also appealingly made demands for a huge studio to film in and staffers to conduct her research. I believe that she had staffers do the research because, quite frankly, it is time-consuming.
It is insanely time-consuming.
And when you're dealing with research, the kind of stuff that she puts out, you better make sure you're right. She puts some pretty inflammatory stuff out. The spokesperson Owens told the Post the allegations against her are baseless but very funny. Since Kirk's death, Owens has claimed foreign governments such as Israel. There's your mistake, isn't it, Candace?
Bingo.
Involved in the Turning Point leader's murder. Kirk was shot in the neck at Valley, Utah, on September 9th. He died with his neck that was so powerful it stopped the 30-06 in the skin. You know, that's so...
I'd love to know what kind of neck training he was doing.
You know, that is so asinine. Every time I say that...
With an aught six. Make sure you clarify an aught six.
I've got one. I own it. I bought a 30-06 at a gun show. Ooh. Years ago. And I remember I took that thing to the range and I bought a box of ammo for it. That thing will light your shoulder up.
Dude, we've hit hogs before with 308s, which aren't even as heavy as an aught six with, you know, Hornady Hydra shocks. And it'll blow the backside of a hog out the size of a basketball. Like, that was just a basketball
but,
hole.
But his neck at 100, 200 yards stopped a 30
with no exit one.
With no exit one.
He had no exit one.
Unbelievable. You know. So you know, the thing, though, you know, when they say stuff like this, it's either.
The problem is, you got to remember, 99% of the population has no experience with firearms, as far as any detail.
Everything she is doing right now is because she wants to destroy Charlie's legacy. Total lie.
That's
and the organization he built, because he threw her out. The insider claimed. This insider could claim anything. Insider could claim that ants like to eat little bunnies. I mean, what? Anybody say anything? Okay. The promotion of conspiracy theory regarding Charlie's death has helped Owens garner a following of millions of viewers on her evening on a YouTube live stream. That's true. I can't admit that. That was a fact. Moreover, Owens facing a lawsuit. Here we go. Listen. Bridget Macron runs around looking like a dude, can't produce any evidence. And here's the thing. Owens is facing a lawsuit over Bridget Macron for defamation, claiming she was not a biological woman. Okay. Here's the thing you do. And this is the thing that really just irks me. Okay, Bridget Macron looks like a dude.
Yeah, she does.
Michelle Obama looks like a dude.
Yeah, she does.
Michelle Obama walks down the stairs, you know, in a silk dress with an Alabama black snake slinging between her legs. You can see it. And you ask yourself a question. What in the world is this man?
That was all pre-AI, too, bro. That was all pre-AI.
And then she sits there and she's got these massive shoulders. I always expect her to walk over to the bar with 2 1/4.
Yeah, behind the neck press.
And I'm like, okay, Michelle, Joan Rivers said you're a dude, right? Now, a lot of other people have written books on this whole thing but a lot of people wrote articles, and one person wrote a book on Bridget Macron. Here's the thing.
The guy wrote a whole book on it.
I know. Here's what you do. Just go to an independent medical doctor if you want to prove you're a woman and get a medical exam. And if you've had your genitalia snipped, which I doubt you did, I mean, that's a real serious commitment. Just let's get a chromosome test on you. See if you got a YY chromosome or an XY chromosome. Let's just double check it. But no, you can't do that. You can't release medical records. You've got to file a lawsuit on Owens that's probably going to bankrupt Owens, honestly.
Oh, the problem is the lawsuits just drag out. It's been, you got to think about it. Macron, they're going to have some heavy hitter attorneys.
Oh, that 220-page lawsuit alleging that Owens had defamed her with a campaign of global humiliation. You know. Here's the thing. If you are really a female, it's so stinking easy to prove. If someone said to Ted Brewer is a woman. I could so easily prove I'm not a woman on live podcast, but I'd probably go to jail for all that.
You don't have to sue anybody over it.
No.
It's like, ah, I'm a dude. Here you go. Have fun. All right. Next topic.
But of course, I wouldn't do that on a live podcast, but I would show my XY chromosome statistics.
I mean, you don't have to file, and
I would laugh hysterically.
You don't have to file a 220-page lawsuit describing how you're definitely a woman and you're definitely wrong.
Or if someone said to me, Ted Brewer is a woman. Oh, okay. Well, no, Ted Brewer is gay. First of all, I would laugh my head off, number one. And number two, I would think, whatever, man, just get a life. You know, because it's simply not true. It always gets me. Somebody says so-and-so's gay. That one singer out of Latin America, he's gay. And he goes, what difference would it make what I am?
What?
That means you're gay. All right. You're okay. So if you want to be gay and you want to be queer, and that's what are your choice? I don't care what you do with your life. Just own it. Am I right, Austin? But if you like women, you know, and you're heterosexual, you can't say that anymore. It's awful. No, it's so ridiculous. And now they're hammering Elon Musk. What's the name of that? Sydney Sweeney, right?
Oh yeah.
She shows up at this last Oscar thing or whatever she was at a couple weeks ago, or a couple of days ago, and this white dress is cut down, right?
Yeah.
He makes a comment about her.
Yeah. Right?
So now he's all of a sudden he's a pervert. And of course, the article is written by a woman.
Of course it is.
And you think to yourself, wait a minute, she's almost 30 years old. He's around 50 years old. Okay, whatever. And so, you know, that's about the age difference that Donald Trump is with Melania. No.
The American Eagle is just great, though. I got good genes.
She does. Then they ask her, have you ever had breast augmentation done? No. Have you ever had anything done to your body? No. And they're like, I'm going to go here where white men have never gone before. Are you ready? Here we go. You know, what I've learned about this whole situation is this. If you date somebody who's a couple years younger than you or whatever, or Elon Musk with her 20 years younger, the guys don't say anything about it. It's like, okay, Elon, you're right. Good comment. It's always the women who write the articles who get unbelievably angry. I'm just going to tell you, and for some reason, they forget. Okay, since we're doing the Jew topic today, let's go. We're going to go Jew today. We're going to go. Well, he wasn't a Jew, though. We're talking Abraham. He wasn't Jewish, okay? He was the father of many nations. He has Sarah, right? He has a wife. She's 90 years old. She ain't pregnant. See, he gets Hagar in here, and uses her as a surrogate, and he has a baby named Isaac. Now, this is just the truth. That's just the bottom of the Bible, historical history. And all of a sudden, she has a baby, and everybody's all happy. She gets all pissed off, excuse me, at the surrogate's baby, Ishmael, boots him out. Starts this big fight between the Jews and the Arabs.
It's still going on.
And it's a woman who did this. It wasn't Abraham. Abraham's like, oh, man, I don't deal with all this. And then all of a sudden, then he gets a bunch of other women that are a lot younger than her, have a bunch more kids. And everybody says, well, the Bible's, and that's Old Testament. And you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Show me in the Bible where it says that a guy can't date a younger woman or a woman can't date a younger guy. Show me where it says that. I want to see that. I want to see that myself. But it doesn't say that. So he goes out and gets a bunch of more women, marries a bunch more, whatever he does, and has a bunch more babies. You think to yourself, well, that's Old Testament. It doesn't apply to us today. You know what's interesting to me? And I get this with Christians, too. And it irritates me, Austin. I'm in that mood today, okay? You get a Christian person who says, thus saith the Lord, New Testament. And you go, well, thus saith the Lord, Old Testament. And they go, well, that's Old Testament. I'm like, it's still the word of God. Now, think about that for a second. Now, mind you, we're under grace. In the Old Testament, there are four basic precepts in the Bible. God's relationship to man, man's relationship to God, and the God's relationship to man, man's relationship to man, the sanitary laws and the dietary laws. When Christ came for us and he died for us and he brought us grace, God's relationship to man forever changed and man's relationship to man forever changed because we're supposed to walk in love now. Sanitary laws, dietary laws never changed, period. They didn't change. But what's ironic to me is that when you quote things from the Old Testament, like dietary guidelines, right, Austin? With New Testament churches, they get all mad. they're sitting there, they're drooling over a pork sandwich, having their diet soda, making sure they can get themselves brain cancer as quickly as possible. And they say, oh, that's Old Testament. You can't do that. But when it talks about tithing in Malachi in the Old Testament,
they love that one.
Okay. We're going to quote this Malachi. You know, I'm like, whoa, 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 and whoa again. The Bible in the New Testament doesn't talk about tithing, but it does talk about giving.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I'm over in Ybor City, and I tried to find my buddy Elijah.
Did he go on?
I couldn't find him again.
Yeah.
Because I want to give him a Christmas present. I want to give him $20. You go, you're going to give a homeless guy $20?
Yeah. You usually buy him food, don't you?
I usually buy him food, and I give him money. You go, what? I'm giving him Bibles too, by the way. He's always reading his Bible. Doesn't the Bible say that what we do for the least of these and the poor people, or what God sees that us do, that we do, and He rewards us? That's what my Bible says. And so I was looking for Elijah. I couldn't find him. So I headed on home because I was looking for a black homeless guy long enough, I guess. I don't know. But in Ybor City, you know, we got to make sure you don't get shot.
Ybor's not bad. Just don't be going to parties there late at night and staying in the bars. That's when a lot of crap happens in Ybor.
They had
a shooting there not too long ago.
Well, they had one Halloween a couple of years ago.
Yeah, they had one last year. I think this year, Halloween.
Yeah, another one?
About 34 people got shot, yeah.
Again?
But a lot of it's always gang-related. It's always at like 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night.
Ybor's okay, and there's a really great restaurant there that I was there yesterday. It's called the Acropolis. Now, I'm giving them a promotion here. They don't know that I'm doing this. It's in Ybor City, but don't go there at night. Have lunch, okay? Stay alive. Listen to the Ted Austin Brewer Show. You know, and by the way, I no longer support any car dealerships. I got to say that. I'm not going to mention any names.
Man, dude, you got to do that.
I have to do that, yeah. Yeah, I can't do that because of some
can't
of the
put any names out there.
Nah,
right now.
One of my best buddies was working at a dealership.
Man, our best dealership friend.
Best
friends over there.
And the guy sold out, and so I don't support any car dealerships anywhere, whether they're Chevrolet or Ford or Chrysler or BMW or Mercedes or Porsche. It doesn't matter. I don't support any of them. So I just thought I'd mention that on the because I have endorsed certain dealerships before on the show, and I was never compensated for this, by the way, because I liked the way they were, but now they're not like that anymore. So I don't basically support any of them any longer. And you know, I was reading this article this morning, and it was talking about how people make this decision to buy these cars, and it ruins them, and they go broke for buying a car. Austin.
Oh yeah,
I'm going to read you this article. It says people are going broke just trying to buy a car in 2025, and nobody is talking about how bad it's gotten. Car loans are completely out of control. Interest rates are destroying people financially, and dealerships are taking advantage of young buyers who just need reliable transportation to get to work. This isn't about luxury cars or people living beyond their means. This is about everyday people making what they thought was a irresponsible decision, ending up buried in debt for up to a decade. Real stories from real people. I posted this. We're talking about someone with a $60,000 in car debt with a $30,000 negative equity because the dealership scammed them by giving them all these extra things to buy.
That happens a lot.
In the state of Florida, this is important. It's against the law to mark up these extended warranties.
Yeah.
Okay. But some of these dealerships come in from other states. They go into the back screen at the dealership during closing, and they'll add these extra payments and extra fees to run up the cost of the doggone car insurance, the extended warranty, and it's illegal in the state of Florida. And the sad part about this is I've seen people up to having $8,000 of addendums added to their car. That's the highest I've ever seen. It was $8,000.
That wasn't even market value addendums. That was an extended warranty.
No, that was extended warranty, extended paint protection, extended upholstery protection.
Yeah. Nitrogen in the tires.
No, the guy says to me one time, you want to go ahead and get the wheel package. And I looked at him, I said, wheel package? Well, it's $4,000.
Yeah.
I said, for a wheel package? And he goes, well, yes.
Well, it protects the tires. I'm like, that's 2-3 sets of tires on the car.
No, they're lying. Okay, they're lying. This is a boy who'd like to breathe free air, okay? He gets a big chunk of this commission.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And I said to him, I said, well, let me ask you a question. If I blow out a tire on this car and I've got 8,000 miles on it, do I get a new tire for free, or is it a prorated tire based upon the amount of usage I had on the old tire? He goes, I don't know. And I looked at him, I said, you know, I said, you most certainly know, and you know it's prorated.
Yep.
So in other words, if the tire is $500, you're only going to give me $250 credit towards a new tire because it's half used. So that means I got to use up, 40 to 4 times 4. I got to use up 16 tires to cover the cost. Well, we also will give you a new set of keys, and if you scrape the rim, we may consider repairing it. And I'm like, whoa. $4,000.
Yeah, my buddy does wheel repairs
for $50.
It's like $100 of
you know,
fixing wheels.
And so you think yourself, and I told the guy, I said, and he goes, "Well, I cannot believe you're turning this down." I said, "Well, you better believe it because I'm not taking it." I know this happened to me personally a couple years ago.
Be very careful of extended warranties and extended protection packages, especially these aftermarket ones, because some of them can be really, really shisty to get anything covered through them as well.
Well,
especially
when
it's just dealership add-on stuff they do, like, oh, it's paint protection for $2,000. They're not PPF in the car, guys. They're spraying wax on it from Walmart. I've watched them do it. Anyways.
Okay, here we go. The average of negative equity in cars nowadays, 1 in 4 car owners in this country owe more than the car is worth. The average negative equity is $7,000. That's not a small mistake. That's a financial hole that takes years to climb out of. And so the worst part is most people don't even realize how bad their situation is until it's too late, when they can't get out of their car and their car breaks down and now they can't even have a car. We also break down why car debt is considered the worst kind of debt you have. You're borrowing money and paying interest on something that loses value every single day. It's a depreciating asset. The average car payment in America is over $700 a month. If that money went into investments instead, you'd be retired with millions. But instead, it's going towards something that would be worth half as much as you paid for it a couple of years. The math doesn't work, and it's never designed to work in your favor. That's why car dealerships are some of the most lucrative businesses to get into, except for currently because of interest rates. These guys are hemorrhaging cash. If you're thinking about financing a car or you're already stuck in a bad loan, the video might help change how you see everything. You know, and so the thing about it is that you got to realize a lot of people are filing bankruptcy now because of car loans.
Yeah.
I'm just letting you know that. The car loans and medical bills, you know, and Trump talked about, you know, last night about repealing Obamacare. They're not repealing Obamacare. They're not funding it anymore.
No.
He has control of Congress, and he still can't repeal. Okay, let me say something here. This is already turned into this show anyhow, so it doesn't matter at this point. We're going to have to censor it or delete it or whatever. So you may hear it live today.
We'll make it on YouTube.
We'll make it on YouTube. But here's the thing. I had a friend of mine who was paying $40 a month for Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, you know, 10, 15 years ago when this crap came out. His payments are down almost $1,000 a month.
Jeez.
Yeah. You know, he met Mike. He has a restaurant. And the crazy part about it is that, you know, I've learned over the years that health insurance is an absolute waste of money in most cases if you're healthy. Now, if you are always sick and you're a chronic hypochondriac has put on his tombstone, "Told you I was sick." And I don't get me wrong, I was raised by a hypochondriac. My mom was always sick. There was always something wrong with her, always complaining about something. But the point is, a lot of people are just hypochondriacs. There's really nothing wrong with them. They just have to find something to complain about. And if that's you, no offense to you, oh, well, you need to clean that one up. But the point is, a lot of people have these runny nose policies. I had one, $2,500 a month, Austin, I was paying for health insurance. That's $30,000 a year. And finally, I looked at it. I looked at Sharon, and I said, "What the heck are we doing? We never even used this policy. It was through that wretched ripoff State Farm." And so finally, I canceled it. I got rid of it. And now, you know, I didn't have it for 10, 15 years.
Here's the issue that I have with health insurance. And it's not that it's not useful if you have a catastrophic event, like a massive car accident.
But you have car insurance,
but
too.
You also have car insurance, too, if you know how to stack your policy. The issue that I have is that we've become this country now where everybody's obsessed with having health insurance so they can obsess about how often they can go to the doctor, to obsess about how sick they are, and obsess about how many different medications they need to be on. That's what it's turned into now. It's not, hey, you know what? I may need a small policy to help out with a catastrophic event to help, you know, bridge the gap. Most hospitals like Advent Health, I've been there before, they'll straight up negotiate with you 80% right off the top if you're
that hospital chain. Yep.
You got a $10,000 bill, they'll come in and say, "Well, you're a cash buyer, no insurance, blah, 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 that's some questions, felt some stuff." They'll drop down to $2,000 like that. Well, the problem with it was when I had my health insurance where I dropped it, it was $1,200 a month with a $6,000 deductible. So I was in it for $13,000, $14,000 a year for premiums. And if I needed it, I had to come up with $6,000. So if I ever had to use it for 1 year, it was going to cost me $18,000 with deductible.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the equivalent of having a $100,000 medical bill every single year with Advent Health with a discount. Do the math. I don't get that sick, and catastrophic events are not that common. So I sat there and hedged it. I said, you know what? Instead of buying this every month, I'm going to buy a little bit of silver every month. I'm going to hedge my bet against it. And that's what I started doing 15, 20 years ago. And so when you start looking at this stuff, ask yourself the question, do you really need to be paying $1,500 a month for health insurance? I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not giving you any type of insurance advice. I'm asking you to ask yourself that question. Because in most cases, there's a reason why State Farm makes billions and billions of dollars a year in net profit.
No, they don't want to pay out anything.
Net profit. Yeah. There's a reason why insurance is so lucrative. There's a reason why some of these insurance companies, and some of you know, that all these guys have enormous amounts of wealth, and they have these huge investments in these massive houses and properties all over the country, and they own these investment or these insurance firms. It's really lucrative. It's a real ripoff in most cases. So do your research, because in most cases, it's been shown, when you have these big insurance policies, you are more prone to go to the doctor for reasons that you really don't need to, and they put you on antibiotics, they put you on drugs, they put you on pharmacies.
We had a lady who worked for us years ago. We're going to call her Jane. That is not her name. And she was basically a semi-part-time, full-time, depending on how busy we were, employee. And I remember she was one of those people, and we back then, this is over 20 years ago, 25 years ago, we supplied insurance for the people working for us.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're a small firm. We can't do all that. I mean, it's too expensive now. And it was, and she was going to the doctor over and over again. I mean,
yeah,
like,
all the time.
Like once a week. And finally, the insurance contacted me, says, you know, so and so Jane here is, we're jacking her premium up to $800 a month now. And this is a part time employee. She's working 20 hours a week. And you're like, well, $800 a month for a part time employee, that's ridiculous.
This is back in the 90s.
This is back in the 90s. And finally, I called Jane in after 2011 and our sales in 2001 after Trade Towers got hit. And, I told her, I said, you know, you're working 5 hours a week part time. I'm paying more in health insurance to you, way more than you're making in a salary. I said, I can't do it. And she goes, well, I have to have brain surgery now.
Oh gosh.
And look, I said, brain surgery? She goes, my brain is not in the right place, and they have to go into my skull now and move my brain. You don't remember this.
How do you remember that?
I know. And I said to her, I said, you're going to let them cut your skull open and move your brain around. I said, make sure your will is in place.
No joke.
And she goes, what do you mean? I said, they're probably going to kill you. I said, don't you realize that they're just coming up with crap to charge you more money because of the health insurance? And so then I ended up having to get rid of the health insurance because they simply couldn't afford it. The company couldn't do it. And then all of a sudden, she no longer went to the doctor all the time.
There you go.
Now she didn't have to have brain surgery anymore. Now she, you know, you're like, well, you should have. No, they don't need to move your brain. I don't know where they come up with stuff like this.
Exploratory surgery. That's when I was like, we can't figure out what's wrong. We don't know what's going on. So we're just going to do exploratory surgery and open you up and start digging around and see what we can find.
I had a friend of mine. His mother was, you know, he's a pastor. His mother basically was a hypochondriac, always sick. And finally, the doctor goes, we have to do exploratory surgery.
Same thing.
Yeah. So they open her up from the sternum, I mean, all the way to the pubic bone, and they open it up to see what she looked like. Well, she died under surgery.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, what was wrong with her? Well, they couldn't find anything wrong with her in surgery. And the problem was she just had that problem. She's always sick. And a lot of people get like that. They get caught up in that loop. And see, remember, when you speak negative stuff over yourself, you create a energy field that creates the very illness that you talk about.
That's exactly right.
Now you think, well, what did you just say? Now, if you haven't heard anything else on the show today, you need to listen to that. You talk about having cancer all the time, and you don't have cancer, you're probably going to come down with cancer. You come down with having heart disease all the time, and you're always confessing that. You create the energy. Remember, we're in a holographic generated field down here. We create the reality around us that we speak about. What we speak about, we bring about. The Bible says it this way, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You think, well, you sound like you're doing so hocus pocus. Stop it. We are an energy field. That's what the human beings are. We're in a quantum mechanic field. We have string theory. I've done entire shows on this. And we have to understand, when we speak negative stuff about us or about other people around them, to them, it creates the energy field around them. It creates physical reality. You think, well, I don't believe that. Great. I'm happy you don't believe it. Good luck with the rest of your life. I'm not going to argue with you about it. I don't care. You know, I mean, we got this. Hang on a second. I'm going to read this to you. You ready? You guys listening? I'm going to paraphrase this.
You brought out the hard paper.
Oh, yeah, here we go. This is the one you have to have. And what we have discovered, this is Dr. Bernard John Hanglin, a particle physicist. Now, listen to me for a second. This is important. This is, in fact, if you don't hear anything else I say today, listen to this. And what we have discovered, I'm going to add a few words in here. At the core basis of the universe, the foundation of the universe, is a single unified field of intelligence. That would be God. I'm adding that. In fact, that'd be Jesus, through whom all things are held together. I'm adding that. A field that unites the gravity with electromagnetism. With electromagnetism. Yeah. Light with radioactivity with the nuclear force, so that all the forces of nature and all the so-called particles of nature, quarks, leptons, protons, neutrons, are now understood to be one. Listen, they are all just different ripples in a single oceans of existence that is the unified field. And that field is a non-material field. Ultimately, it's a field of consciousness. And everything in the universe is nothing but that. It's an energy field. Planets, trees, people, animals are all just waves of vibration in this underlying unified superstring field held together, I'm adding, through Christ, through God. Here's the problem. If we're an energy field, we create the field around us by the words that we speak and the thoughts that we think. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, real positive. Always remember this. Every single word that comes out of your mouth, friends, listen to me. Put a comma at the end of it and say, and that's the way I want it to be, because you're creating the reality. I can do all things through Christ, comma, because that's the way I want it to be. I'm always at the right place in the right time every day, comma, because that's the way I want it to be. I feel great every single day, comma, because that's the way I want it to be. I'm always walking in divine health, comma, because that's the way I want it to be. You start speaking negative stuff, you're going to get the same results, because that's the way you want it to be. You can't control this as far as what happens from the words that you speak. It just happens. But if you speak the positive things, then you create a life for yourself that's going to be phenomenal. It will be. It'll be beyond your wildest expectations. But the reality is, most people, you ask them how they're doing. Oh, not too bad. What the heck does that mean? That means you're doing, when they say that to me, I'm like, I'm sorry to hear that. What do you mean? Well, you said you're not too bad. That means you're doing badly. That means you're doing poorly. I'm sorry to hear that. Oh, I did say that, didn't I? Well, yeah, why don't you say I'm doing great, but it's going to get better, because that's the way I want it to be. You know, I learned that when I was 25, 26 years old, and it changed my life. I remember Jim Rohn said on one of his tapes years ago, you'd call it recordings now, not tapes. He said, if you listen to me, if you do what I tell you to do, he said, I'll take you from average to fortune.
Yep.
Because he said, I will show you how to create a reality around you that you will not believe. And the thing about it is, how many people create negative realities by their choices and their decisions they make?
And the words.
And by the words they speak.
The words, yes,
you know,
the words,
man. Do you really need to buy something you don't need with money you don't have to impress people you don't know? Or would it be better, like Austin said, why don't you buy an ounce of silver every month or a couple ounces and just try to build your net worth that way instead of worrying about what kind of car you're driving? And
or
I've learned
or what more massive insurance policy you have.
No.
Like it's some badge of honor. I've had people brag about, well, I've got the premium platinum deluxe package insurance. I can go at any point in time with no deductible. And I'm like, is that a flex?
Is that a flex?
Yeah, it's a flex. Are you flexing that? Like, I'm not impressed. You tell me how often you can go to the hospital for any point in time. You've got a sniffle today.
I've got a friend of mine who's completely broke. I mean, financially destitute. Yeah. But she's got her life insurance policy.
Life insurance?
Oh, she has her health insurance policy every month. And I said to her, I said, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
I said, you can't even buy food.
Yeah.
You don't need health insurance. You could go. You got Medicaid. Okay. You don't need life insurance. I mean, you know, who are you going to give it to? This is ridiculous. What are you doing? People make decisions all the time with money they don't have to impress people they don't know. I mean, do you really need to buy that brand new Tahoe? Why don't you buy one 2 years old for $40,000 less?
Let it depreciate for 2 years.
And the cost is to the roof.
You know, I've explained this to a lot of people kind of with car hacking. And a lot of times, if you look at the markets on stuff, you look at what a vehicle's depreciating on a 2 to 3 year curve. In most cases, you can buy a vehicle
under warranty,
2 years old, under warranty for significantly less than it was brand new. And that's on a lot of models, especially SUVs. Because I know a lot of moms like SUVs, like Tahoes. Tahoes are great SUVs. They're really good. But now they're brand new, loaded up, high country Tahoes, like $92,000, $93,000. Well, if you're doing the research on it, look at one brand new, and then look at one 2 to 3 years old on the depreciation curve. You'll look at it and see in 2 to 3 years old, it's going to average about $50,000 to $60,000 on trade-in. Which means if you buy that brand new, you can expect in 2 to 3 years it's going to be worth about a little bit more than half. So it's going to be worth about $50,000 to $60,000. Well, a lot of times what you can do is, two, if you play the game right, you can find one that's 2 to 3 years old and it's been certified through Chevrolet, which gives it a 100,000-mile extended warranty for just a few thousand dollars. So you can buy like a 23 Tahoe for like 55, 60 grand, load it up with extended warranty through the dealership, as basically certified with 20, 30,000 miles on it. You drive the truck for a year or two, rack the miles up on it, and it'll still be worth about 50 grand. Look at the floor at where they go with X amount of miles and X amount of years to do your research. Don't be so obsessed. I've got to have it brand new. I want a brand new one right now. Okay, you can buy the brand new one, but just understand you're going to lose about $30,000 next year. If you're okay with that and you don't mind wasting money, that's on you. But in my opinion, I'd rather take the $20,000, $30,000, go throw it in silver, save the money, depreciate a little bit on one for a year or two that's been used, still drive it, have a nice vehicle under warranty, and then sell it and get most of your money back.
Look at all those poor souls about that Taycan Mercedes.
Oh, my gosh.
For $220,000, and a year later, they're worth $60,000 to $70,000. If the dealership will even
take it.
I talked to a dealership the other day. It was a Mercedes. I went by the Mercedes dealership and had some free ice cream. Don't you judge me for this. Okay, they have ice cream there.
I've dropped the ice cream and cookies for 2 weeks.
I ate so many cookies,
I had to do a full GHI fast for 3 days. Confessions on that one.
But I had an ice cream because I know the dealer there.
I can't believe you had ice cream.
I did. It was great. And what happened is I talked to the sales manager.
Yeah.
He handles used cars also. And I said, well, tell me about that Taycan. He goes, He goes, unless we find a wholesaler who'll take that car, we won't even take it on trade.
Wow. They're going to get stuck with it. It's going to be the auction. Then they're going to lose their butt on it.
No, he said, we have to have a wholesaler that's willing to take
it right now.
40, 50 grand for a $200,000 car that's 2 years old. He goes, and we don't want it because we can't sell it. Nobody wants it. And he goes, Porsche can't get rid of it. They're about to bankrupt Porsche because of this. And I said, well, what happened with Mercedes? I said, well, Mercedes, same thing.
They backed out of the whole EV sector.
He said, we've lost our butts on this. We're ranked number 35 now, in warranty and repairs and dependability. He goes, we've ruined our own market because of this. And he goes, they're always broken down. We don't even want them anymore. And nobody wants them anymore. And he goes, it's a nightmare. And he goes, and we've learned the hard way. There's certain types of cars we don't want. We don't want to take a car in this pure electric for Mercedes on trade. Same thing. If we can't wholesale it out, we won't take it.
You know what's funny? You know, our buddy John that worked with the other dealership that we know you were talking about yesterday, he made a comment to me and just rang in my head. This was like 2 or 3 years ago, and he was fussing about what was going on with the EV charging stations. And you remember what he said? He goes, people don't realize, and we already know this, electric cars are going to go the way of the CD-ROM. They're going to be a fad, and there's going to be something out next that something's better, like more hybrid active systems that actually can run and be active and be real cars. He goes, this is an entirely unsustainable fad that's going to bankrupt a lot of companies. And sure enough, we're watching that. He called that 3 years ago. He said that. I remember sitting at his desk, and he goes, he was so mad about those $1.8 million for charging stations they don't even use.
And you know, it's crazy. I remember years ago with the Mercedes, I talked to a friend of mine. It was Dan.
Yeah.
And he said, don't ever buy an AMG Mercedes.
New.
He says they have a cliff off. His words, cliff off depreciation.
And then about 3 years, they plateau.
Well, about 2 years,
they plateau.
Most AMGs, unless it's the G-Wagon, you can buy, they hold their value pretty well. But everything else, about 2 years after you buy, it's worth half of what you paid for it, AMG.
And then they flatten out. And that's why you got to do your research when you're buying something. It doesn't matter if you're going with Ford, you're going with Chevy. Look at the, it's very easy to do research. You can go on CarGurus or AutoTrader and look at the year range, which you're looking at, 22 model, 23 model, 24 model, and look at the range and look how the prices drop. You can even pull graphs up and everything on a lot of those sites, and you can see where they drop, and then you'll see where they plateau. And they have a real slow decrease after that. So be very cautious, because unless you're buying some really, really high-end vehicle with limited production, that's the only time those cars really hold value, and a lot of times go over. There's certain cars now, like the doggone Aventador SVJs. I was looking at those the other day again. I was like,
they went up again?
Oh, they're going up again. Because they stopped making them. They only made a couple hundred the last year. And then remember, five of them got burned down on the boat. They had to actually open up the manufacturing facility to build five more Aventador Ultimates because those sunk. Because of the EV cars that caught on fire on the boat. Again, it's like the EV strikes again.
No, that whole thing was unbelievable. In the boat, they're towing it back into the port, and it capsizes.
$2 billion worth of vehicles on it?
Well, the whole thing is just crazy. I mean, I just don't even know what to say about any of this stuff. It's just fraud.
Oh, speaking of crazy things, I covered this on Doug's yesterday. This is becoming an issue. The DOD is flirting with aviation disaster. The Air Force has taken over, the Navy has taken over so much of the Caribbean areas. We've almost had two nearing collisions with U.S. Air Force fuel tankers. Now, have you seen this?
Unbelievable.
They said basically a JetBlue Airbus fully loaded with passengers heading to New York JFK from the Caribbean island of Curacao was forced to take evasive action after they had an almost near collision with a U.S. Air Force tanker that did not have his transponder on. He was flying dark.
No, they always do that. I mean, they don't want to be shot down. They keep the transponder
correct.
On.
Now, we had another U.S. Air Force tanker almost hit a Dassault Falcon 900 business jet yesterday heading from Miami to Aruba, flying with no radar on, and they basically almost hit each other 23,000
feet. Well, a lot
feet.
Of those areas out north of Venezuela now have been put into a no-fly zone because
of this. They're flying from Miami to basically the Caribbean.
I know.
This is, we're not talking Venezuela. Venezuela is way further south than the Caribbean is.
You know, I have to admit, now I've flown before, and all of a sudden an F-16 will fly up beside you. You look at him. That's pretty cool. Now you don't know he's there because he doesn't show up on your
right
screen. But he says you see him down there. He looks at you. They kind of wave at you. They take off, and you're thinking, well, that's pretty slick.
But when these guys are flying around the Caribbean and flying Miami now, we're having almost near collisions off the coast of Florida. That's a problem.
Here's another near collision. FBI Dan Bongino is to leave as deputy director.
I saw that.
Yeah. With rumored replacement waiting in the wings. Dan Bongino was, you know, he was a little bit too vocal on his podcast.
That's exactly what told him it's time for you to go, buddy.
Yeah, will resign his position with less than a year on the job after reportedly packing up his belongings and bidding adieu to his team. I will be leaving my position with the FBI in January, Bongino announced on social media Wednesday. I want to thank President Trump, Bondi, et cetera, for giving me the opportunity. And the sad part about it is, it's just something. He goes, I think he wants to go back to his talk show, Trump said to the former TV host. Bongino was reportedly already packing up his office, with one source telling the Post that the former media personality would serve only 1 year under his role under Cash Patel, who likes to fly his girlfriend on private jets.
Well, I think he's had enough of Cash. Honestly, I think that's what a lot's come down. I talked to Doug about it last night on the show. Mm-hmm. I think he realizes the swamp is so thick and so deep, and Cash Patel's such a deep state rat. I mean, he's a complete piece of crap. I thought he was actually going to do something. Yeah. He's a complete and total low-life, deep-state scum now.
Speaking about low-life, deep-state rats, the Oscars are leaving ABC to start on YouTube.
That was a
good segment. Okay. Oscars have had enough of nobody watching ABC anymore. They're going to go to YouTube.
Streaming on YouTube now?
Yeah.
Probably a lot cheaper.
Starting in 2029. Yeah. And the crazy part about it is does anybody really watch the Oscars anymore?
I don't even know when they are. I
haven't seen that in 2 decades,
yeah.
I don't think.
I think last time I watched the Oscars was on your TV on antenna.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't have the
20
antenna.
Years ago. Yeah,
20
no.
years ago.
Well, the crazy part about it, who wants to listen to a bunch of liberals spout out rhetoric that's garbage?
Well, my favorite is when they get up there and they go, everybody needs to drive EV vehicles. You guys are killing the planet. Oh, wait a minute. I'm late. My Gulfstream 750 is about to leave me, I think. I've got to go get on my plane and jet to Europe so I can tell everyone how bad they are for being peasants that they drive cars. And I got to figure out where I'm going to fly next to my Gulfstream. You guys have a good one. Goodbye. Good luck being peasants. They run off stage.
Okay, I don't know what this show was today. It's going to get a... I think we're going to put a hazard warning on this one.
I took too much mushroom complex before the show.
I had another purple stick before the show. So, I was on with John Moore this morning, and so I kind of got geeked up first thing this morning. Now I kind of continue to stay geeked, I guess. But the reality is that, you know, when we do shows like this, I have no idea how to even sort them. It's definitely not a green show.
It's definitely not going on YouTube.
Definitely. Well, no, we couldn't put it on YouTube. They would take... Oh, well, wait,
ban
stop.
Account again.
They've already banned us again.
Ban me again. I'd lose my... I had to start another account and another email. Gosh. Well, I got an article. We never got to today because Dave was just one of those shows. Eat well on a tight budget. This is an interesting article I'm going to cover tomorrow. How to really eat healthy home-cooked meals that are even organic for a fraction of the price. Eating really good isn't that expensive. You just got to do your due diligence. And on top of that, if you really want to cut back on cost, you can't be going out to eat all the time. I love going out for a good steak. I love going out to eat sometimes. But I know people that constantly complain about, oh, I'm running this on cash. I'm trying on cash. But they go out to eat for lunch. And they go out to eat for dinner. And you look at your bills on that. You consolidate them. You'll find out. You go eat 2 or 3 times a day out at restaurants. You're going to spend $4,000 or $5,000 a month in aggregate. You don't realize it. You're like, oh, I'm eating today. I'm eating tomorrow. And all of a sudden, you get the month. You're like, gosh, I spent $4,000 in food.
I had a friend of mine. Both he and his wife had to file bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Run out all the time.
All the time. And, you know, he would order like an extra piece of, you know, salmon or whatever, you know, for $30 or $40 because he's a big guy. And I finally told him, I said, you're going to bankrupt yourself.
Yeah.
And he did. They bankrupted themselves. Oh, by the way, thank you for your support. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for supporting crazy shows like today. I don't even know what today was. But we love you guys and we appreciate you. We pray for you all the time. Remember, Jesus is the answer for everything. And be careful with the words that you speak.
100%.
That's why I read you this today. Because we create our own physical reality by the words that we speak. Understand that, and understand that God loves you. He wants the best for you. And he taught you that in the Word of God. And so always remember, have the ability to remember why you're a Christian and why we're here. And always remember to love one another. I love you guys. Thank you for your support. We wouldn't be here without you. And thank you for getting your stuff from Health Masters.
Stay healthy, my friends. Stay strong. Call us if you need anything. Health Masters. A lot of specials going on. 12 days of Christmas. Mushrooms on sale. Let us know if you need anything. We'll talk to you later tomorrow.
Love you guys.
Show, as always.